business, managing people, balancing budgets. This.
I'm Barbara Kahn, Professor of Marketing and Director of the Baker Retail Center at the Wharton School of the University of Pennsylvania. You're listening to Marketing Matters on SiriusXM 111. We're talking with Maria Tettamonti, who's a fashion blogger known as the Wordy Girl. And Maria, I want to take you, now this show here is really about retailing, so I want to take you back to some of the business side of the things that you do. And I know that you do some social media for what's called The Collection. I know what The Collection is, but I don't think our listeners will. Can you tell us what that is and what you do for them?
Believe it or not, The Collection's a car dealership, and they sell luxury cars. We're talking Ferraris, Maseratis, Aston Martin, Porsches, and Audis. So they've taken me on to manage their Facebook accounts, their Twitter account, and their Instagram account. So it's my job to put their customer on the forefront of all the information that these brands are putting out there, and to hopefully at the end get new customers into the showroom.
So can you give me an example of, like, what do you do on Facebook? What do you do for a car company? I know those are pretty nice cars, but what do you do for them?
I love it. So for example, Maserati, they are coming out. They're actually going to join the SUV sector, and it's called the Levante, so people want to know about that because it's, you know, buzzworthy. So I'll put a picture of the Levante on their Facebook page saying, hey guys, did you know that Maserati is coming out with a SUV? And here's a picture of it. Do you like it? And that picture will get shared. It will get liked. It will get traction on the web. And people will actually call in and ask about the Levante. And they'll want to know, you know, when's it going to be in the showroom?
And you tweet for them or just Facebook?
Yes, I tweet for them as well.
And so one of the things when we were thinking about this, you know, we were doing some of this work at the Baker Center because we're really trying to understand how social media works, and I think we're all learning on this. People were talking about trying to have, like, a particular voice for a brand and try to be consistent with that voice. Like, something like Michael Kors or Tory Burch, they have the voice of the individual designer. Do you try to have a voice for the collection?
I mean, absolutely. It's always, good morning, drivers. So it's got to be highbrow. It has to be sophisticated. I'm selling Ferraris. I'm selling Aston Martins and McLarens. It can't be lowbrow. So yes, my language is definitely not the way I talk in everyday lingo.
And you have to find something of interest, I guess, because I don't suppose you want to make it sound like an ad. That's, you know, you could go to a magazine for that.
No, absolutely not. Say David Beckham rolled into town. I'm just making this up from the top of my head.
He did roll into town last week, didn't he?
Wasn't he was here. Yes, he's starting his Major League Soccer team here. We're having Beckhamania down here in Miami. But say he was rolling in a Ferrari, California, I would definitely post a picture and be like, you know, check out David Beckham in this red hot, California. And you would be amazed at how many people would like the photo.
And how many times do you post? I mean, I could imagine too much is bad, you know, but not enough. You don't get enough traction.
I agree with you. I think too much is bad. And I once met with a girl who works at Google, and she told me, you know, once a day is fine. Between the hours of 11 to 2 is when is the busiest time, when people are on Facebook the most. So, and
11 to 2 at lunch. So they actually do work the rest of the day? Is that what you're telling us?
Yeah, I guess so. We're choosing the peak hours are 11 to 2, and the busiest days online, so the days that you want to, like, get really good blog content or a good Facebook post on, are Tuesdays and Thursdays. And Fridays, you might as well be talking to no one because no one's online, at least here in Miami. No one's online and no one's talking.
Okay. Do you do that for other companies, or is that the one you're doing right now? Or
Yes, I actually do one for a hotel in New Jersey, so that's a whole different voice. I'm talking about vacationing and come down to the Jersey Shore.
Not tonight, but...
No, not tonight, when the kids are coming. Sorry. Not to mention, where we are actually open now. And the collection, and that's about it. And for myself, which is like a full-time job.
Yeah, I'm sure it is. So let me, I don't know if you saw on the Wall Street Journal, they announced today that Ryan Seacrest, who's the host of American Idol, is starting a new men's clothes line. And the premise of the line is that men need help matching up their tie with their shirt, with their fashion square and their suit. And so he's going to color code his whole line. I don't know if you saw that article.
Oh, dear Lord, no.
But you might have some intuition.
He's not busy already enough.
Yeah. Well, I mean, and we were talking with Michael Kors about this also. You know, there's some, Michael Kors is predominantly female fashion, and yet men are becoming more interested in fashion. There's just no question about it. Do you ever do any advice for men? Do you have any advice or suggestions on how women and men shop differently?
I've showcased my husband a few times on the blog when his, like, you know, Ralph Lauren head-to-toe look or his Bonobo shorts or his John Varvatos Converse, but I find that a little personal, so I try not to go towards men's fashion too much. I don't find myself an expert in that sense.
You mentioned Bonobos. That's an interesting company. That started as an online company and now sells some of its product in Nordstrom's, I think it is.
Mm-hmm. So, and it's so funny. I blogged about them, and I didn't even backlink to them, so I don't even know how they got to the post of my husband wearing Bonobos. They make really cute prints, as you know. And the one of the marketing professionals at Bonobos emailed me, and they said, hey, we love your post. Could you backlink to us? Thanks so much. So I thought that was really interesting that, A, somebody at Bonobos is reading my content, and, B, they really value a backlink to their site.
So why don't you just define for us what a backlink is?
Sure. A backlink is my post just read, hey, check out my husband in a pair of Bonobos. The prints are adorable. And that's it. I didn't let my reader know where to buy them from. I thought they were savvy enough to just search Bonobos, but no. A backlink is when I would highlight the word Bonobos, and it, when you clicked on it, it would take you to the Bonobos site.
And you just did that as a service for them? They didn't pay you for that?
Well, I didn't do it to begin with, and then when he emailed me, I gladly put the link, no charge.
Oh, that's nice of you. Okay, now let's talk also about, you know, one of the things that I think people might look to a fashion blogger for is just some idea of what's cool, what's in. And I saw in another one of your blogs, you were mentioning the Pantone color of the season.
Mm-hmm.
So can you explain what Pantone is and what that means?
Absolutely. Pantone is the color authority of the world. Every year they pick the it color. 2012 was tangerine, 2013 was emerald green, and 2014 is radiant orchid, so it's like a nice, deep, majestic purple. And I actually did a story on it recently, and there's so many things coming off the runway in this deep, yummy purple hue, from Valentino clutches to Gucci shoes. Pantone really does have a say on what's going on in fashion and what will trend that season.
And one of the reasons they do that, I mean, if we think about, I think somebody told me that it takes something like 18 months to bring a product, you know, now there's this fashion that's kind of changing that time. But some of these really big companies, you're making product a year and a half before it's going to appear in the store. And so it's kind of hard to say what's going to be hot then. And so some of these colors and trends and things, they do a lot of research to try to figure out what makes sense. And then I think that's part of the reason why they're doing these colors and announcing that. Do you have any insights on that from your fashion journalism days?
I really don't know I'm sure that the fashion world's privy to this information. I'm going to go with that, but I don't, I'm just surmising. I don't really have much insight in that.
So you were just interested in the actual color and then do you ever feel like, oh, that's not a good color, I don't want to follow that color, or is it so nice to be trendy and in that you go with the color? I mean, like, some people don't like orange, for example, but if orange is in, you know, are you going to buy it anyway?
I'm going to be honest. I blogged about it because I wanted some search engine optimization to my blog. I figured if people Google Pantone color of the year, maybe, just maybe, my story will pop up. So yeah, sometimes I'll write things thinking that they're buzzy and will drive traffic to my site. Sure, I'll be shameless in that sense.
Well, I mean, that sounds like good business. That sounds like what you should be doing.
It's called hustling.
Okay, so let me just remind people that you can call us anytime if you have questions for Maria or myself. Give us a call at 1-844-WHARTON. That's 1-844-942-7866. And let's go back a little bit to some. I'd like to talk a little bit more about social media, because I think people just don't understand how, you know, how to get that and how to do that every day. And a lot of brands are starting to look at that. I think there's a lot of social media going on about this New York Fashion Week. I don't know if you've been following what some of those bloggers have been posting.
Mm-hmm. Have you been? The Sochi Games.
Yeah, about Olympics, or, you know, they tie the two together. And I mean, you do notice that in the ones that I follow, you try to pick up something, and I would imagine you would do this in the collection too, if there's some connect, like you said, with Dave Beckham coming to town. If there's some way to make it newsworthy, that might make people pay more attention to it.
No, absolutely. You have to, when I make a post on Instagram, it has to be something that is of importance to me. It has to be something that's relevant to what's going on in the world. It has to be something that inspires people, that makes them want to click like, makes them want to share the link, makes them want to buy the jacket I'm wearing, hopefully. So there's definitely a lot of thought that goes behind everything we do on social media.
Now, let me change gear a little bit. You're also the co-founder of Working Girls. That's a workshop platform. What is that about?
Yeah, basically, I teach workshops to local Miami women who want to learn about buzzy topics, and namely, my most popular class is, you know, Blogging 101, where I teach local women how to blog, how to get their businesses up off the ground through, you know, what we're using WordPress. And I also teach people the many wonders of social media, as you have been talking about.
So those are some tactical little examples. You know how to start. Like, people come to you who think, like, they'll listen to a show like this and think, oh, I could do that. I have some ideas. But they don't have a way to start. And so,
exactly. I really try to inspire people to take an idea and get it off the ground. I have a lot of women, and it's not even fashion blogging. They're photographers, they're doulas, they are vegans, and they want to start a blog, but they just don't even know where to begin. And I always tell them the first step is go online and come up with a really cool creative name and see if it's taken. And if it's not taken, just buy it. It's like real estate. Once it's gone, it's gone. So buy it. And then
how do you find out if the name is taken or not?
Yeah, you can literally say, I like the Wordy Girl. And so I plugged in the Wordy Girl. It was actually taken. And I actually emailed the lady who owned it. And I said, hey, I'll give you a couple, I gave her a number, and she went for it. So I was able to buy it from her. But you can go to GoDaddy.com and find out if the domain's available.
Oh, okay. And so I would imagine, like, picking the right name, which is what you're saying, is pretty important for a blog.
It is.
Partly because, it explains what the blog is about very quickly, but also through, you know, Googling and things like that also.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know about the to a certain degree, I wanted mine to be something quirky and creative, and I think it's funny how sometimes I go to the grocery store and people be like, hey, you're the Wordy Girl. It's just, I think that your name has to be creative. I think it has to be what you're about. I was helping my editor at the Herald the other day, like, come up with a name for his blog, and